This morning's gospel lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. It's on page 1541 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. The kingdom of heaven is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had the 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you handed me over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and scattering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you join me? Please join me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your great love for us. And now, as we prepare to turn our hearts to you and what you have to speak to us, may all that we say and all that we do give you honor and glory, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the Pope came to New York City. There was a big limousine waiting for him as he got off the plane. Well, he got into the limousine and he turned to the driver and he said, "You know, when I travel, I have this entourage with me and so much security, I never get the chance to drive. And I love to drive. Would you let me drive the limousine?" And so the limo driver says, "Well, you know, I really can't do that. I could lose my job." But he looks and he says, "Well, you are the Pope. So I guess what could it hurt?" So the limo driver gets in the back and the Pope comes to the front and drives. And let me tell you, the Pope is having a great time. He's got a lead foot and pretty soon he's doing 100 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. Well, this rookie cop sees this limousine speeding by. He pulls in behind, turns his lights on, and he goes to the front. Well, he sees who's driving. He starts to stutter and he says, "Oh, excuse me just a minute." And he goes back to his car and he radios his chief and he says, "Chief, I pulled somebody over and he's really, really important." And the chief says, "Well, who is it? Is it the mayor?" And the cop says, "No, more important than the mayor." And the chief says, "Is it the governor?" And he says, "No, it's more important than the governor." He says, "Well, is it the president?" And he says, "No, it's more important than the president." The chief says, "Well, who is it?" And he says, "Well, it must be God because the Pope is driving." Someone sent that to me this week, and I just had to share that with you. Because you know how I believe that humor and laughter is a spiritual gift. So there's a legend. I don't know if it's true or not, but I love it. Winston Churchill, in the war effort in the 40s, Britain was really suffering. This was in 42, 43. With utilities for the war effort, and so they really were in need of silver. And so he got some people together, and they were looking at the problem where they could get silver, and they said, where is there silver that we can get to help with the war effort? And they figured that they could go to the churches, where there were statues of saints, there were crosses, there were all sorts of a church accoutrement that was made out of silver. And so somebody mentioned this to Churchill, and he looked at him, he said, well, it's time to put the saints in circulation. Well, I love that phrase, and I want us to think for a few moments this morning about stewardship as saints going into circulation. All of us are saints, right? Those who trust Jesus, we're saints. We're messy, we screw up, we mess up, we fall down. God's grace keeps us going. That's what a saint is. Saints aren't people who are perfect. Yes, there are certain people that down through the ages that we would call saints so-and-so who did wonderful things, but guess what? They were just as much sinners as any one of us. So stewardship is about putting the saints into circulation. It's about deploying into the world the talents, the gifts, the resources that God has given us. Putting those things into circulation. In the scripture today, the disciples come to Jesus. If you go back to Matthew chapter 24, 25, this is a big chunk of teaching. This is the last bit of teaching in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus does before he heads into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday and into his passion and death and resurrection. And so the disciples have come to him, and he's teaching them about what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And so he teaches them in a parable. He's talking to his disciples here, and he talks to them about a man who entrusted three people with his resources. Now, we use the word talent in the translation that I read. One talent was 30,000 denarii. The average day's wage in that day was one denarii. So one talent is more than one person would make in their entire life, 30,000 denarii. So he gives to one 150,000 denarii. To another 60,000, to another 30,000. And so he goes away and he entrusts them to do something with what they've been given. Well, we see one that goes out and he's able to double it. Both two of them were able to double it. Turn 5 into 10, turn 2 into 4. But a third one hesitates. Perhaps doubt starts to creep into his mind. What happens if I invest it and I lose? My master has a reputation. Maybe I best just hide it, and at least I won't lose anything. He plays it safe. Afraid to take a risk. And we know in the parable that Jesus teaches, when the master comes back, he praises the one who had taken the 5, turned it into 10, taken the 2, turned it into 4, and the one who buried it has some harsh words for, doesn't he? I want to challenge you this morning about living into a mindset, an attitude of stewardship. See, what we do as Christians, we reflect the reality of which we are most aware. What I mean by that is this. If we believe that God is generous, is loving, if we live into the freedom that God has given us, the abundant life, that is what we're going to reflect into the world around us. If we live in that reality, that's what we're reflecting to the world around us. Through what we give, through how we treat other people, through how we use our time, our talents, our resources, we will live out of abundance if that is the reality into which we step. Just like those two that were entrusted with the 5 talents and the 2 talents. They lived into that. They were not afraid to take a risk. But if we live in the reality of fear, of uncertainty, of doubt, of scarcity, then that is what we will project into the world around us. That's what we will put into circulation. It starts here first. It starts in our relationship with God. And out of that is the natural outflow of how we deploy, how we put ourselves into circulation. It depends, first of all, and the reality into which we live on a daily basis in our relationship with God. I want to tell you a very brief story about, some of you will probably recognize this name, Philip Yancey. Christian author. He tells this particular story about playing chess in high school. He was a member of his school's chess club, and he studied books on techniques and strategy for chess. So after high school, Yancey says he didn't play for about 25 years until he was in Chicago and he met a really good chess player. Well, they played a few matches, and Yancey writes this: "Any classic offense that I tried was met with a classic defense. If I tried to play more risky or unorthodoxly, my opponent matched that in his technique." Yancey soon discovered that none of his own strategies mattered much because his opponent simply incorporated Yancey's moves into his own plan. And then listen to what Yancey had to say about that. "Perhaps God engages our universe, his own creation, in much the same way. He grants us freedom to rebel against its original design, but even as we do so, we end up ironically serving his eventual goal of restoration. If I accept that blueprint, a huge step of faith, it transforms how I view both good and bad things that happen. Good things such as health, talent, and money, I can present to God as offerings that serve his purpose. And bad things too, disability, poverty, family dysfunction, failures, can be redeemed as the very instruments that drive me to God." Being a faithful servant, being a faithful steward, that means that we're people entrusted with God's resources, and we trust in the goodness of God and in that relationship that gives us strength so that we're not afraid to take some risks. So that we're not afraid of failure, we're not afraid of the bad things that happen, because we know that those too can be taken by our lives and put into circulation in the world around us to achieve the purposes of God. So friends, as we look ahead to a new year, and that means a new year of giving. A new year of giving money, of giving our time, of giving our talent, of giving our resources. And believe me, this is a church of givers. There are some incredible people in this congregation, not only who give financially, but we have incredible talent in this church. We have incredible people who have minds for finances, who are willing to give of hours a week in helping our church with that. We have people who are handy at so many things, carpentry, fixing problems here in the church, who give generously to that. Friends, that is all stewardship. That is all the way that we put into circulation the gifts that God has given to us. God has given each one of us gifts in abundance. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, talking about gifts that we've been given, that none of us have been given gifts that are better or worse than somebody else. If you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the body as a metaphor for gifts. And how an arm or a leg might seem more consequential than an eye or an ear. But imagine if you only had one ear. Or if you only had one eye. Or if you were missing your big toe. How vital those small parts of the body become when they're worked in and incorporated into the whole. That's like all of us with our gifts. Each of us has been given something to use to the glory of God. It's my prayer for each one of us that as we go into a new year, that we will dedicate ourselves anew to putting all that God has given us into circulation. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Friends, receive this benediction. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. And all God's people said, Amen.